Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. My dear fellow redeemed brothers and sisters, fellow family members of our Lord and of our God. So far you have heard us talking about that amazing gift of the Christian community, and you've heard words sung how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, how good it is when we get to be the family of God. How amazing it is when we can build and support and pick each other up. All those amazing blessings that come from being part of the family. What an amazing thing it is to have this many voices gathered together, to be able to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and build each other up and encourage each other, support each other, rejoice in the forgiveness that is ours in Jesus, and then also share that forgiveness with those who are around us. And so you and I rejoice today as we say to each other, welcome home. As you think about gathering for worship, perhaps some of the fond memories that tend to come to mind, maybe you've heard your mom or your dad or your grandparents talking about it. Maybe you remember a setting when you got to be able to gather together and the place was packed. Depending upon what your congregation was and where you were at, it may have been hundreds of people, maybe it was 15, but the place was packed. Lifting your voice, singing praises, rejoicing in what God had to say. And we think of that with fond memories. Today we get a little closer, don't we? A little closer as you and I rejoice together in what it means to be this family. The Bible often uses the picture of family, doesn't it? It talks about God our Father, His one and only Son, who is your one and only brother and one and only Savior. Because of that, you get to be Jesus' brother and sister. You get to claim Him as your very own brother, which makes you brothers and sisters, even if you're not living in the same house. We love it when the family gets together. Think about your own family. When do you get together? Perhaps you get together at Christmas time. Maybe that is the time that you have dedicated yourselves to say, we are going to get back to Mom and Dad's place. We're going to make sure we get to the grandparents' house. And that is when we are all going to come together. Perhaps you've picked the third Sunday in July, and you always go to the same hometown, and you go to the same picnic or the same picnic shelter in the park in the middle of town. And that's sort of the standing invitation. That is family reunion day. Everybody who comes and everybody who can make it, please come. And we look forward to that. We look forward to gathering together with our family and our friends. We look forward, especially if the family has become a little far-flung, we look forward to catching up, seeing pictures of the new house, seeing what the new job is all about, what's going on in their lives now. The aunts are busy passing the babies around who have been born since the last time that you got together. You look forward to it. You love getting together. Going home is always so wonderful. Right? You walk into that house that you grew up in, and perhaps all these memories come flooding back, and you remember the fresh smell of the bread, and you remember Mom being there or Grandma being there, and all these memories come. But perhaps not every one of us has those same memories. For some of us, perhaps coming home isn't all that great a thing. Maybe you're not at all interested in going to Christmas or to the family reunion this year because you said something last year. What you did, the way you acted, you're not sure you could face them again. Maybe somebody said something to you. They said that hurtful thing and you still haven't quite gotten over it and you're pretty sure you don't ever want to see that person again. I don't care if I'm related. I'm not interested. So as you think about going home, it probably perhaps has mixed emotions for many of us. Some think of going home as a great thing. Some think of going home as just another reminder of the abuse that I had to endure and the lack of love, if any, that was ever shown. I'd rather be anywhere but home. And as you think about this family, Perhaps we have some of the same things going on in our minds. As you and I think about this family reunion that we do every Sunday morning, for some of us, this is like coming home. We remember the people that were there. We remember how it got me through that difficult time. It reminded me how it carried me through the sadness and the struggles, and how it was always there to build and to encourage. And maybe some of us think this has never felt like home. Maybe I was going through something and it didn't seem like anybody knew about it and nobody cared. Maybe I'm not so sure I want to come back here because after what I did, I don't think I'd be welcomed. Or that person said something, or they did something, and I want nothing to do with those kinds of people. So once again, you've got those kind of mixed reactions. So no matter where you are at, no matter which reaction you are having, no matter how long it's been since you were last at this family reunion, welcome home. Welcome to the place that reminds us that just as your family, you may think of it as the perfect family, but there is no perfect family. We all struggle. Welcome home. Welcome home as we gather here and as we build each other up and as we encourage each other and as we help each other through those struggles and joys of life. And as long as we keep thinking about ourselves, how hard I try, what I say, what I do, how others have treated me, then I suppose we're going to be able to see all the flaws. I don't have it on anymore, but you see that robe that's all messed up. So instead of thinking about ourselves and how we act or don't act like a family, let's look at Jesus. And to do that, we take a look at the second lesson from Hebrews chapter 2. But we look to Jesus, the one who was made lower than the angels for a little while, so that by God's grace he might taste death for everyone, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. Certainly it was fitting for God, the one for whom and through whom everything exists, in leading many sons to glory, to bring the author of their salvation to his goal through sufferings. For he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified all have one Father. For that reason, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. Within the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will trust in him. And again, here I am, and the children God has given me. As we think about welcome home, and we think about Christian community, we look to Jesus. Look at who he is. You've got some hints of it here in these verses from the second chapter, but chapter 1 of Hebrews really hammered home who Jesus is. Who is he? He is the Son of God. He is not just another angel. He is not just another one of you and me. He is God himself. No beginning, no end, all power, absolutely eternal. Look at who he is. He is the one for whom and through whom everything exists. Every time you read in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, we think about the Word made flesh, the Word who was with God and the Word who was God, and we rejoice in the fact that everything was made by him and through him. He is the Creator. Everything exists because of him. Look at who he is. He is the one who has all power and might and authority. Everything is under his feet. There is nothing beyond his control. He is the King. The only King. You look to Jesus and you marvel at who the Son of God is. But then look at what he does. Even though he is in complete and total control, even though he is guiding and ruling all things, for a little while, he was made lower than the angels. For a little while, he now looks just like you and me. In fact, for a little while, he perhaps was made even lower than you and me, as he lived in this world and willingly suffered. And by doing that, he says, I'm not ashamed to call them brothers. You know, sometimes you and I might be ashamed of our family. We're ashamed of what other people do, how they act, what that other branch of the family has done. If anybody had a reason to be ashamed of the family, it would be Jesus. As He looks at all the things that you and I do, how we act, how we talk, how we worship or not worship. But He's not ashamed. Instead, He came into this world, was made a little lower than the angels, so that He could be your Savior, your brother, your friend, your substitute, and now He is glad to call you family. He makes you His. So welcome home. Welcome home to the one who brought you here. Welcome home to the one who makes you fit in here. Welcome home to the one who takes care of you here. Because He did exactly what we needed Him to do. Therefore, since the children share flesh and blood, He also shared the same flesh and blood, so that through death He could destroy the one who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For surely He was not concerned with helping angels, but with helping Abraham's offspring. Whenever we talk about Jesus as our substitute, we remind ourselves that He came to do what we needed Him to do. And so since every one of us share flesh and blood, Jesus took on the same flesh and blood, just like us, but without sin. He did that to destroy the devil. The devil who is constantly trying to rip that clean robe of Christ's righteousness off of you and reveal all again all that dirtiness and all that scribbling and all of those things that go on in our life. And the Satan is trying to point out to you and say, see what you did? I wouldn't come to the family either if I'd acted like that. I wouldn't talk to any of my brothers and sisters if that's how you act and live. He wants you to think that the only thing that you have is death. But Jesus defeated death. Jesus defeated the devil. He crushed his head. And so now when Satan comes, and he comes with those accusations again, you can say to Satan, yeah, I know. But you lost. And I won. Because I have a Savior who has wrapped me in His love. I have a Savior who's already paid for that sin. I have a Savior who's already died. And so the wages of that sin has already been paid. I'm God's child. With Satan defeated, you and I are now set free from that fear of death. No matter when it comes and no matter how it comes, you and I are no longer afraid of what happens after death because we know what happens after death. We get to go home to heaven. We get to hear God say, welcome home, eternally, to that home that He has set up for you and for me. That's what your brother came to do. And that's why we say, welcome home. And we rejoice that He's just like us. For this reason, He had to become like His brothers in every way, in order that He would be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, so that He could pay for the sins of the people. Indeed, because He suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Just like us. And He came to be just like us so that He could pay for sin. Welcome home. Whatever the sin is, we've all got different ones. There's different ones that are weighing on our consciences, different ones that are on our minds. This is the place to deal with them. This is the place to find out what your brother has done for you. This is the place to gather with other brothers and sisters in Christ who are in the exact same position you are. We all carry some sin, a sin that threatens to pull us away from our Lord and our God, a sin that has been paid for. Here is where we build each other up. Here is where we encourage each other. Here is where we help untangle ourselves from the sin that we got ourselves tangled up in. Here is where we encourage each other to leave that sin behind, to deal with the temptations, because you've got someone who gets it. Jesus gets it. He was tempted just like you and I are. And He suffered when He was tempted, just as you and I suffer under those same temptations. He gets it. He knows what you face and He knows what you need. And then He gives you brothers and sisters in faith, and He brings us together in this family reunion who also get it. We also suffer under those same temptations. We all know the forgiveness we need in Christ, the forgiveness we have in Christ, the forgiveness that He has given to all of us in Christ. So welcome home. Welcome home to the place that keeps you in the family. Welcome home to the place that encourages you as family. Welcome home. So beautifully summed up in verse 11, isn't it? For He who sanctifies, that's Jesus, and those who are being sanctified, that's us, have one Father. Welcome home. One Father. One brother. One Savior. One Helper. And what a joy it is to get together each and every week to rejoice in that forgiveness and build and encourage each other, as every week we get to say, welcome home. Amen. Please stand. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join to confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.